This podcast contains adult themes, language, and situations. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Hello and greetings to all the pups and pup lovers listening in. I am Barely Normal.
And I am Canes.
Oh.
And that was Loki.
And that was Loki. You are listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about human puppy play and consensual sexual kinks. I hope everyone's parts are all in the correct places. And today's episode is kink versus fetish.
Ooh, ooh.
Now, I thought about titling this episode like those clickbait ads. 18 kinks you've got to try. Number 7 will blow you away. But then I just didn't.
It's fine. Number 7 was going to be explosive play, but I feel like that was a little too serious.
A little too serious. Yeah.
Is that actually a thing? All right. I bet you that is a thing. Oh, God.
Explosive play?
Explosive play. I'm sure that there's probably a kink and a fetish for the explosions or being near explosions.
Well, you know, I am a pyrotechnician. I don't think that I've ever gotten hard when explosions have gotten off.
I think I'd be very soft.
Yeah. However, they do say, you know, did it feel like fireworks? But anyway, we started our show. We called it the Pup Kink Cast.
Acrixiophilia.
He looked it up. That's what sexual kink.
I couldn't think of the name for it.
Okay. Yeah. I would have thought it would have been like pyrosex or something like that.
Well, no, because there's symphorophilia, which is like the arousal from like stage managing or like arranging disasters, crashes or explosions. But that's a little different.
That's a little different. Yeah, I would say that is a little different.
Yeah. Okay. So stagehands that get aroused from doing stagehand work for theater work fall underneath that category.
Apparently, I have that kink, and I did not know this.
Didn't
even know it was a thing.
Well, I mean, anything can be a kink.
That's true. Very true.
Anything can be a kink, and which brings us up to the definition of kink versus fetish.
Now, yes, it's a really good point to actually do. There are very two different things.
Right. So a kink is something that turns us on, and it's a deviation from the quote unquote predetermined sexual norm. We talked a little bit about that in our last episode, the sexual norm. A fetish is a sexual act or object which holds power over the fetishist's ability. How can I say fetishist, but I have trouble with consensual sexual kinks? Anyway,
it's because it's like the C's and the S's.
I guess. Yeah. A fetish holds power over the fetishist's ability to actually reach orgasm, or I love the clinical term for this, resolution in the sexual act. It's like, what? Resolution of the sexual act.
Does it not resolve the issue?
It did not resolve the issue, no.
Well, then it wasn't a resolution.
No. Was it a French resolution? Oui, 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 ha, ha. Anyway.
Oh, the French tickler is so far up my butt.
Anyway.
I have lost all faith in us doing this.
Don't touch my hui-hui.
Okay. So, to
branch away from this real fast, I started watching. There's a series on the History Channel called The Things That Built America, and the different things that built America. The newest season that just came out is alcohol, sex, and sin, and how those things came to be part of the American thing. Yeah. And they're talking about the guy that invented, quote unquote, invented condoms.
Hold on.
Wait, that's actually an invention?
Yes, yes, but it wasn't done here. It was done in Greek because they used to use animal skins, and then after that, they found out that pig intestines worked better.
Right, and so this worked. This guy worked in a sausage factory. Yes, I know, and he would take
touch my sausage, please.
He would take the sausages home, empty out the casings, and then turn them into condoms and sell them in because it was illegal to have them back in the 1800s. It was absolutely illegal because the Comstock Act said you could not have prophylactics of any shape, size, or form in America. And so he was actually committing a felony by making these condoms and selling them. And he did get arrested, but he invented the very first mass-produced condoms available in America called the Chic condoms, S-H-I-E-K. He got famous because when World War I broke out, the military wanted to make sure that their soldiers all had condoms so that it did not impregnate the people that they were out around about. And they placed an order for millions of condoms from him. And he had to figure out a way, because he was basically stealing the sausages to make the condoms. So, and then he invented the latex condom.
Wow. There you go.
Wow. History. History in the sexual world. It's amazing.
That is actually really... I had no idea. Like that is a very interesting.
And it came with a little thread on the end to make sure that you tied it around your balls so it stayed on.
Very true.
Yep.
Very true.
I can Chinese tried just paper, imagine
that
didn't work.
I can just imagine people like tying it and just leaving it on there for a long period of time. Just like in the morning, they would just wake up, they'd just put it on, tie it on there. And just like if they got in the mood, they would just already be ready.
Well, there was a lot of that going on in the in those olden days and days of yore, as you it might be.
Man.
But anyway, let's get back to our subject. So we kind of need to discuss these two statements as a starting point. In a kink, the statement says that the predetermined sexual norm and what is a norm. I guess if you looked at what a predetermined sexual norm is, I guess it's like two cisgendered opposite sex married people having sex for procreation. But in our world, what is a norm sexually?
So normal would be like doing it in a like
church.
No. not doing it in a church. No,
doing it in your bedroom. Like that could doors be a closed, deviant, only one in one on one person type thing. One-on-one. There's nothing that's, you know.
Well, a lot of times it usually is like, okay, it leads to a little bit of foreplay. And a lot of the times this foreplay is very like just touchy, you know, maybe some kisses.
Letting her throat.
No, that would be kinky.
No, that would be murder.
I mean, it depends on how far you go in.
And then you'll fall into necrophilia, but that's a whole different situation.
Anyways,
a whole different kink.
So it turns into maybe some little bit of oral, and then it's usually like very vanilla. So it's literally just like, okay, I'm gonna
dick and vag, problem solved.
Yeah, like, or
but in our world, dick and butt.
Dick and butt. Yeah, exactly. But it's like.
Technically, anal play is sacrilegious to societal normalities.
Yes, but well, true. In a vanilla sense for a gay couple, it would be very normal for them to have sex in the butt.
Oh yeah, but
but I feel like that's it should that's be what
specified.
Yes, there is a different, but like the norm out of everything. It's like going to be like in a doggy style or missionary style. And it's
do you know your position? Hold up. Do you know your positions?
Yes.
Name 10.
Name 10?
Why wow.
name 10?
Name two. Well, you named two already, doggy and missionary. Okay. There's that.
Doggy, missionary, reverse cowgirl.
Oh my God.
Help him out, Loki.
Do you need help?
Sure, go ahead.
The fireman wheelbarrow, the crow's keep. Don't ask. I'm from the South. Fuck you.
That's 7. Okay.
So if you want to go from that point, then you can also go into... did you put missionary down?
Yes, we did.
So on that sense, there's also... God.
Mm-hmm. See, you can't name 10 either.
No, I can. I was just burping.
Okay. Burping's that's not a position. I guess it could be.
Actually, I think it is, but I'm not going to say that. But that
burpees is a workout routine.
No, burping, I think, is actually anyways. So from that, then you also have so there is the
see more stalling. It's
there's
great.
The chair.
Sorry. Okay.
There's the Eiffel Tower.
Oh yeah,
Tower.
There's the chair. Eiffel Tower.
What else do I?
There's reverse doggy. There's reverse doggy. There's reverse doggy. It's
yeah
weird.
Well, I suppose everything could be a reverse also, so that
yeah,
it gives us 20. So, yeah.
And then there's
but the Eiffel Tower
know,
takes three. You can't do an Eiffel Tower with just two. So
yeah, that's a
so
pretty good one.
That's a non vanilla.
That's a non vanilla position.
Well,
yeah.
Most of those are going to be non vanilla.
That's not true. They're in vanilla sex bugs. Anyways.
True.
Continuing.
True. Continuing. So, Canes?
Yes.
What is your number one kink and your number one fetish? And they can't be the same thing.
Do you even have a fetish? You don't have a fetish.
I don't have a fetish that is like, I have to have.
Well, then that wouldn't be a fetish. It'd be a kink at that point.
Correct. I'm just horny all the time. So it's very hard for me to even, like, one of my favorite kinks, besides the pup play, would be deprivation.
Okay.
I love getting blinded and, you know, where you lose senses. It's really fun for me.
So it's not required to get you off.
No.
So therefore it's a kink.
Correct. It's just a kink. Okay. A fetish basically is I don't have a way of saying that I have a fetish because it's not a requirement for me to get off.
And a lot of people confuse those two.
Correct.
A lot of people think that they have a fetish when they have a kink.
Correct.
Yeah. So
so a lot of people don't have fetishes. Right. There's very select few that have true fetish to something because that means that you cannot.
That includes masturbation, by the way. You can't get off without it,
right.
Including masturbation.
Correct. 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 Yes.
Yeah. You have to have it in order to reach orgasm.
Yes.
That's what a fetish is. You must have this in order to have emission.
Well, because you can't really say that, right? Because, like, some people don't produce a physical climax.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I have been with several people that can climax without having an emission. So,
including me, I've done that before, like where it's like a full experience.
Yeah, it's like a dry orgasm, like back to preteen years, I guess.
Preteen,
but it's weird because when you have something like that, it feels like you're coming. It feels like something actually is coming out of you, but it doesn't. And it's the weirdest feeling ever when you come out of it and you're like, did I come? And they're like, no.
No. And you're like, well, I thought I did because yeah. It sure felt like it.
That was the best orgasm ever.
And there's a fine line to overstimulation. To where you can be overstimulated, have your orgasm, but not ejaculate.
Correct. Yes.
There's also a fine line on like right before climax where you can just completely skip climax and go straight to overstim.
That usually happens a lot in group settings when one person is the receiver of all the attention and being overstimulated.
But that is so much fun.
It is. I always enjoy being a giver in that situation because
same.
It's so much fun to watch that person just writhe in pleasure for, in some cases, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Prolonging
that orgasm for a long, 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 long time.
See, I love when it's a group setting and you're milking someone. Because a lot of times it's like penetration. As well as someone, you know, using their mouth or hands or, you know, their butt. Usually the person is bound, which is really, really fun. And then there's usually a couple other people that are using the other person's, like the person that's tied up, like either mouth or their feet or all sorts of things. Would you stop?
What are you doing, Loki? Are you making an SPH?
No, I'm.
Oh
no, I'm doing like nothing.
Snipping with scissors.
No. Funny you should say that though about the whole milking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you get it? Like, we're gonna get real personal. Why do you get upset when I milk you?
Because I don't necessarily want you to do it so quickly.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens is Loki will try to overstimulate me, mm-hmm. and like me being uncut, it's very easy to overstimulate. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I'll want her to stop so that mm-hmm. I can actually, you know, stay hard. Because if you overstim me, I will not be able to stay hard. And please stop mm-hmm. making that clicking noise before I start throwing something at you.
When I'm in the zone. If somebody touches it just the right way, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
There we go. And then, you know, I got to sit in the corner and sip a whiskey for half an hour until I can get the blood flowing again. But
well, it's not necessarily that it like for me, like I can stay hard mm-hmm. even with overstimulation. It's just if she wants me to come again, she cannot mm-hmm. do that. Right. So
that's a lie.
You know what I mean. There's a reason why I stop you. Because I'm like, okay, stop after the second time.
Yes. Stop for a second.
Or third or fourth.
Give a rest. A third or a fourth. God, good for you guys. Good for you.
No, well, here's the thing, right? So maybe I'm just going to get a milking machine and then I'm going to tie you to the bed and then I'm going to go to work one day and then I'll come back after 8 hours.
Wow. Just to see.
To see if you broke it or if you broke the bed getting away from it or, you know, whatever.
It looked like a desiccated mummy laying on the bed just like this.
I'd be dead.
Like, and the machine's going... Still going. And there's poor Canes just
eyes like popping out of my head, going, "Help me! Help me!"
It's fine. I'll pour some water on you. You'll be like those little like the little capsules or whatever that you like put the water and it like grows a dinosaur and shit.
Dinosaurs. It's like grow a Canes.
I'll just put you in the bathtub afterwards.
There you go.
It'll be fine.
It'll be an axolotl.
Yeah, see, happy on the outside, dying and depressed on the inside.
He's a little axolotl.
Oh my god.
So, Loki, do you have a fetish?
I do not, no.
Okay, do you have a kink? Any kinks?
Well, that's a little sacrilegious if I didn't.
What's your favorite? Basically, it's what is your favorite kink?
I think his favorite kink is torturing you.
I mean,
yeah, probably. She likes doing that.
It's a good question.
It's hard when you start thinking about what, you know, what is it that makes it fun? I mean, like, I have a lot of kinks that I enjoy doing to others. I enjoy spanking, using toys on others. That gets me very excited to do that. But having it done to me, not so much. And I did experience temperature play with candles a couple of weeks ago. And that was interesting.
Wax play or temperature play?
Well, wax play. Anything. Temperature play is an overarching term for cold, hot,
that's
changes
true.
In temperature, things like that. And I used candles and ice cubes back to back. It was an interesting.
How did you like it?
I loved doing it to the person.
So, that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fun. And most of our listeners are now basking in their orgasm of all the conversation we just had. So
they're dry orgasms.
They were picturing everything that we were talking about. They're like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know that I like, I mean, we talked about this before on the mm-hmm. podcast, but like we talked, you know, when, you know, I'm in public in that like headspace of being a puppy that, I like being naughty, mm-hmm. out in public.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm not supposed to, but,
right,
you know, a
right.
hand down, certain pants or, in a kigu, no one will ever know.
Exactly.
Well, they would if I was wearing the kigu, let's be honest.
Well, if it was baggy enough, you wouldn't know.
I want to know where you buy your kigus from.
It depends on if she's wearing a jock or if she's right. not wearing underwear at all.
Right.
If she's freeballing, it's hard to hide that thing anywhere.
Yes. It's easy to hide it up somebody's ass, but
yes. You know.
And then you know exactly where it is. As the old phrase is, if it was up your ass, you'd know where it was. That's for sure.
Okay, so when let's get back to what we're talking about, kink versus mm-hmm. fetish. When we're talking about, you know, the norm of things, or like, you know, fetish versus a kink, mm-hmm. I think of, you know, CBT. And I love right. I love this you know, portion of CBT, because
okay.
some people have a fetish to CBT mm-hmm. Where they have to have it in order to get off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually pretty severe looking when you see it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's not a fetish, it's a kink. Because there is right. there is that confusion a lot of times that people will, oh, I like getting off to it, so it is a fetish. No, a fetish is every single time that you get off, you have to have it. Right. And so I do know a few people that are actually, you know, they do have a fetish to CBT. Mm-hmm. But I also know of quite a few that get that terminology confused with right. that in general. Now the more you do a kink, the more you might turn it into a fetish.
Correct.
Keep that in mind. If it's a good thing or a bad thing, it's not a bad thing either way.
Well, if it is,
it's your prerogative. If you want to have a fetish in something, that is what you want to do. I am not going to tell you to not do it.
No, I understand that. You said it would be, either way, it would be better, right? The issue with that is if someone, for example, someone's into an extreme, out of the norm type thing, right? An extreme kink. Right, like
cutting,
amputation, right?
Okay, yeah.
They turn amputation mentally in their head. It turns into a fetish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing with that, right? You can amputate fingers and toes, right? 20 times, right? Most people, on average, have sex or a sexual encounter within 1 to 2 times a week. On average, sometimes way before, sometimes only once every few months. Doesn't matter. That includes personal affliction as well, right? Sure. So that's 20 times. So on average, you're going to go through 20 weeks. So before the end of the year, you're going to only have a torso and head.
Well, okay. But see, I'm not no,
that's,
saying...
That's accurate.
No, but that's not accurate also, because in that fetish, it might not necessarily be the actual cutting of that portion or getting rid of that in that very time.
Amputation.
No, amputation can literally be like, I am missing a finger. That is still an amputee.
That's or a sexual if they attraction have... to amputees, not amputation.
Or if they have a fake body part.
Again, amputee, not amputation.
Okay. I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Some of them could be detrimental to health over long periods of time for frequent occasions.
Right. Now, I mean, I can give you an example of a kink that turned into a fetish for a guy that comes over every once in a while. And his kink was... He claims to be straight, but he can't get off now unless it's a guy masturbating him. So his girlfriend can't get him off. He can't get off on his own. And it was a kink to start with, and now it's turned into a fetish. He cannot have an orgasm or get off unless a guy is masturbating him or playing with it or doing CBT to his to him. There you go.
That's a thing. It can happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, so, it will start out normally as a kink and then progress into a fetish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the last time he was over, he's like, I can't get off unless a guy is touching my dick. I said, well, okay.
I guess we will work on this.
Yes. Here, let me give you a hand.
So called, you know, air quotes straight. I have a couple friends who, you know, are air quote straight.
Right.
But my gaydar is, you know, completely going crazy with them.
I mean, I have kinks. I don't have a fetish. I mean, yeah, I'm a two pump chump, man. I'm just like in and out and I'm done. And it's like,
so, which no, you're is, not. Which,
well,
oh, so you're admitting.
He's admitting.
About when?
About, you know, having sex with Barely.
Well, yeah. Doesn't mean I fucked both of you at the same time.
Yes, you did. I have physical proof.
Yes. Anyway.
Well, so it's all falsified. So
that's the main difference between a kink and a fetish is the kink is something that you enjoy doing. A fetish is something that you have to have in order to get off. Now, most people don't have a fetish, I would say.
Most people. That'd be accurate.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be pretty accurate. I would say most people don't have a fetish. I would say all people have kinks.
Yes. they might not even know.
The Mormons are the worst.
Yeah, they probably have a shit ton of kinks because they're not allowed. Once you disallow something, that's all you want to do.
That's why kids get in trouble all the time.
Yeah.
Don't do this. Don't do that. What the fuck do they do next as soon as you turn your back?
Right. I mean, put a button in the break room that says do not push. Everyone will fucking push it.
It's true. Didn't they do, they did a social study on that before where mm-hmm. they put an individual in a room and it had a whole bunch of buttons and then it had one that said do not push. Mm-hmm. And they all pushed the do not push button and they left all the other ones alone.
Right.
Like it was like 99%.
Mm-hmm. Just so that you want to do it. If you want to do a fun social studies experiment at a fur con, here's it is. So you get all your friends together and then one stranger on the elevator and you make sure that stranger is in the back of the elevator. And then all your friends turn around and look at the back of the elevator instead of the door. That one person, instead of staring at everybody, will simply turn around and look at the wall.
Oh my gosh. That's actually pretty funny.
Yep. So they will, because nobody wants to be the odd man out ever.
That is very true.
Yep.
As soon as someone thinks that everyone's looking at them, they get like very in their shell. Like, please stop looking at me.
Please stop looking at me. Even though I might be at a fur con where I'm dressed up, where I want everybody to look at me, now yes. I'm in a small space and everybody's looking at me. Fuck this. Yeah.
Get me out of here now.
Now. Right. Yeah. Anyway, so this is kind of a short episode, but I wanted to touch on these subjects because it's something that comes up a lot in the Telegram chat. People talk about kinks and fetishes and what they're doing and what they're not doing. And I know that there are a lot of people that have kinks where they like to, when they're going on a long road trip, they like to do it with no pants. That's a kink.
That's so much fun.
It is fun. Yes. I mean,
did you know it's actually legal to be naked in your car?
Depends on the state.
But most of them.
Yeah.
Okay. It's shocking. And the reason why is because it is technically your property that you are in, and mm-hmm. you are in the privacy of your property. It is very hard to basically tell someone you cannot be naked in your car legally.
Right. And again, it comes down to the arousal and whether other people can see, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But if you're tinted, if you have tinted right. windows yeah. And you're yeah. just cruising down the road, no one is gonna care.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in 70 plus down the highway.
Right. In the late 70s, I visited some friends up in Washington, and we went for a drive, and he cracked open a beer and was drinking it while we were driving, and he was driving, and I said, you can't do that. He says, yeah, you can. This is considered personal property. I can drink on my personal property. There was no drinking and driving laws in the state of Washington at the time. You could have an open container inside your car because it was your personal property. Same. It's just an extension of that same thing you were talking about.
That is crazy.
Right?
What? Open containers?
There was no legal drinking age until the 1940s.
Oh, that is true. That is very true.
Anybody could drink anything, anytime, anywhere. So,
I would have been
legislated morality.
I would definitely be, very much if I was alive around there, I'd be, the drunken horseback rider that's, doing a drawn carriage just right, going down right. the road.
Well, and that's why prohibition was such a big thing back in the day, was because it wasn't because of legal adults drinking alcohol. It was everybody was drinking alcohol. And that's what the whole prohibition and the temperance movement was about, was this is not healthy. So,
but it's just so much fun.
A 12-year-old should not be drinking, whiskey.
No, I agree.
No, but a 14-year-old was okay.
No, actually, anybody could.
There was no, like after the initial prohibition, it was like 14, then it got moved up to 16, 18, 21.
So, see, I agree, though, with the... See, I'm more... If you can fight for our country, you should be able to drink and smoke.
Yes.
I think that even if you're not in the military, you can be completely, drafted mm-hmm. in the military. You should be able to smoke and drink.
But here's right. the thing with that, though. The legality and equality issue with that nowadays would not be acceptable, because technically speaking, only men at the starting of age 18 can legally be drafted in case of a war or a terroristic act. That does not include women. Women cannot be drafted for that reason because of the legislation that was passed. That being said, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell the women they can't do that? Well, that was the issue before, right? Women didn't have as many rights, so then they fought for them. They bitch. They complain. No offense. Women are great. Can't say anything. What I'm saying is that they fight for their right because they know they have the legal freedom to do so. And when that gets passed, then it's going to be the same thing all over again, right? Initially 18, then they're going to raise it up again. But that being said, though, people with their GED can also go and be drafted at the age of 16. They can also join at the age of 16 because then they become legal adults. Same thing with people that get emancipated, right? You can get emancipated at 14. So what are they going to do? Allow the 14-year-olds to drink as well?
No, no, no. I think that basically there's no scientific proof that from 18 to 21, there's a difference. Now, there is scientific proof of 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds when they're drinking, they are stopping their development. I forgot what it is, but there is actual brain stuff that happens when you're that age, that basically if you're drinking and you're drinking heavily, it's going to, in moderation, it's different, but if you're drinking heavily, like every day, it does do actual irreversible damages to when you are younger mm-hmm. for the brain development. But
I'll tell you,
I'm just saying in general.
Many a drunk night when I was 15 and 16 years old.
I feel that, yeah.
I can tell you that right off the bat, yeah.
And we're not condoning underage drinking,
no,
by the way.
No.
We're just saying that we were bad children and got shit-faced, by the time we could drive. Or, stealing cars around that time.
I never stole a car. I've never stolen a car. I've stolen beer. I've never stolen a car, but you know, I think we should wrap this up and make it a short episode so that we can get on and do other things. Unless anybody has anything they would like to add to this conversation.
No, just, no. You know, love you guys.
Love you.
Hopefully love ya. You're doing good.
If you feel like sharing your kinks and fetishes with us, do so on the Telegram chat. That would be kind of fun to hear what some of your kinks
yes.
and fetishes might be.
That'd be really
if you
fun.
Want to share pictures of your kinks and fetishes, please share pictures 100%. As well.
And if you want to share videos of you jerking off, that's also approved too. You know,
just... Also approved, yes, 100%. Of course, they may request us to give them some stuff too, but I mean, I think we've posted things on there to ourselves, so, you know.
We have, but I'll post more if people really want me to, you know, post more, I'll post more.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast. I had to think about what podcast I was on right now. about puppy play and consensual sexual kinks. I hope everybody's parts are in the correct places. I have been Barely Normal.
And I have been Kate.
And I have been King.
And
I have a quick question before we end. Is the check all parts in in the correct places? Is that just a new thing that we're doing now?
I think that's just good. That's my catchphrase right now. Okay. I think I liked it, so there it goes. I mean,
okay.
My other podcast, I think I have a catchphrase, so that's you know. I hope everybody's parts are all in the correct places.
I think my nose is in the wrong spot, but
you choose what place is correct for you.
There my
you
dick go. Isn't in cane, so it's not in the right spot.
There you go. See, it's not in the right place. So, all right, folks,
let's fix that.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Woo!
Off Leash is an Injured Nerves production and is available on all major podcast platforms. The podcast is produced and directed by Barely Normal. Thank you to our generous pup sponsors, Scout W, Astro Wolf, Dawson P, Reddy, Pup Feral, Rudy Pup, and Scout. We appreciate your support and donations.